Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast. It's Tuesday, the 21st of January. And first up, thousands of you have been reading this story on Kent Online. The idea of a multi-billion pound theme park in North Kent is officially over after the company behind it went into liquidation. Now, we were told London Resort on the Swanscombe Peninsula would attract millions of visitors and create thousands of jobs. It was first proposed way back in 2012, but suffered a huge setback when the land was designated a site of special scientific interest. Campaigners have fought to have the area protected and made into a nature reserve for local people to enjoy. Among those groups backing that idea is Bug Life, and I've been getting reaction today from Jamie Robbins.
Well, obviously, we're delighted to see the London Resort finally disappear off the map. It's been a threat to the fantastic habitats of the Swanscombe Peninsula for years now. Ourselves at Bug Life, Kent Wildlife Trust, RSPB and the local Safe Swanscombe Group and have been working really hard to see this day. So we're really pleased that theme park has disappeared completely.
Those plans were around since 2012, never came to fruition. You fought, as you say, a very hard fight. But what happens next?
Well, next, crucially, we need the government to step up and remove that nationally significant infrastructure project status, which there's a bit of confusion over, because although it was awarded for the London Resort, there is some speculation it could be applied to a theme park on the land of some sort. So we need the government to turn around and give the decision back to local decision makers so we can work together with them and the community to have the Swanscombe Peninsula kept as a nature reserve for people and wildlife.
So while as this is very good news as far as you're concerned at the moment, you're keeping a very close eye on it, I should think.
Absolutely. We've written twice in the last few years to the Secretary of State asking them to remove the national planning status that overrules local planning decision making. So we're going to be encouraging them again to do that and hope that we can work with local authorities.
I think perhaps the one thing that most people remember when we talk about this area of land is this jumping spider. But obviously there's more there than just that, isn't there? Tell us a bit about why it's so important.
There's a huge amount of wildlife on the Swanscombe Peninsula. Absolutely, the distinguished jumping spider's got the headlines because it's one of only two sites for it and it's a fantastic name. But we're talking about a site that's home to thousands of invertebrate species, nightingales and otters and orchids, all sorts of wildlife. There's a reason we've been working with this collection of wildlife organisations to save the site and pressuring Natural England to secure its future. It's because there are very few sites left where you've got this rich mosaic of different habitats all in one place. And part of that is down to its position in the Thames estuary, but it's also down to that amazing industrial history on the peninsula, which shaped the landscape and made it the place it is today that people go to and enjoy every day.
Now, a spokesman for London Resort Company Holdings said the dream of the London Resort has been ended by the courts. Natural England fatally wounded the scheme. A single creditor has killed it, and with it, any chance of the UK competing on the envisaged scale of London Resort. You can let us know what you think by commenting on the story at Kent Online or by heading to our socials.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories today, and two teenagers have been charged after a 16-year-old was stabbed in Sittingbourne. Emergency crews were called to an address in Merston last Thursday night. A 17-year-old has been remanded in custody while another boy, who's the same age, has been bailed. A man's been arrested after a lorry went up in flames in Dartford. Fire crews were called to Suffolk Road, not far from the Orchard Shopping Centre on Saturday night. It's being treated as possible arson, and a 39-year-old's been questioned. Two teenagers have been charged after video appeared to show a group causing trouble at a Tesco Express in Ramsgate. Staff, including a security guard, were reportedly threatened and a door was damaged at the store in St Lawrence High Street on Friday. A 17 and 18-year-old are due in court next month. Now, in a rare move, a planning officer has stepped in to stop councillors rejecting plans for a 52-home estate in East Morling. Our reporter Leon Reid joined me now with more on this story. So, Leon, tell me a bit about the background, first of all.
Well, the proposal being considered was a new development at Ivy Farm, a picturesque orchard on Wateringbury Road. Around 40 residents turned up to the Tunbridge and Morling Council committee meeting to oppose the plans, and a motion to refuse the application passed with 8 votes to 2. However, there was shock when the authority's chief planner, James Bailey, exercised his right to prevent the decision from being rubber stamped.
And has he given a reason for taking that unusual action?
Yes, he said in his opinion, councillors didn't have sufficient grounds to reject the application and believed they would lose any later appeal. He went on to say he has a duty to protect the authority from the hefty costs of follow-up by developers, which the council would have little chance of winning. It caused upset among residents, with one saying it doesn't feel like democracy. Some of their concerns about the new homes being built include an increase in traffic and the loss of green space.
So what happens next?
Well, the intervention by the council's chief planning officer means the decision to refuse the application is viewed as just a recommendation. Bosses will now prepare a report on what they see as the financial risks associated with a refusal. The committee will be asked to consider it at a meeting next month. If they still refuse the proposal, it'll then have to go before a meeting of the whole council for a final decision.
Leon, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online reports.
Kent Online's been told a baby girl is recovering at home after being attacked by an XL bully near Folkestone. The nine-month-old was flown to a London hospital after it happened in Hawkinge in December and was discharged on New Year's Eve. The dog was seized by police and put down. A report's raised serious concerns about fire safety at a Kent prison. An independent monitoring board says authorities haven't done enough to address the risk to staff and inmates at HMP Elmley on the Isle of Sheppey. They've also criticised the unacceptably low number of work sessions and opportunities for prisoners to gain valuable skills. The family of a special needs child who missed 2 years of school have been awarded more than £18,000 by Kent County Council. The authority has apologised following a critical report by the local government ombudsman. Papers revealed the boy, known only as B in documents, didn't go to class due to delays in amending his education, health and care plan. The councillor in charge of education says lessons have been learned. Now, next today, and following the inauguration of Donald Trump as US president yesterday, a Kent campaigner says his second term in office feels like a step backwards. Sarah Fox organised a march in Canterbury at the weekend to express concerns about women's rights. She says recent events have reminded her just how important it is to stand up for what she believes in.
I saw these marches happening all around the world on this day, and I just felt like something needed to be done locally. Women's voices, they are so often overlooked, and I wanted to give people a space to feel heard and supported. We are, as a group, UK Women's March. We're looking to roll out more marches like these in more cities, more towns, more villages, just to really help spread that awareness that this cause needs. I really feel like we came together as a community, and we need others to come together in as many communities as possible so we can all help to really make a difference. Turnout was absolutely amazing. We had about 200 to 250 people show up. The energy was just incredible. People bought their signs, their dogs. Some of them bought drums, tambourines. It was loud. It was fun. But it was also really powerful. People are so passionate about these issues. Things like equality and safety. It really hits home. And then they're not abstract. They do affect our daily lives and people around us, all the lives around us. And people want to feel like they're part of the solution. They wanted to help. They wanted to march with us on that day. They wanted to be there. They showed up and they absolutely delivered. Donald Trump becoming the US president again. Honestly, it's worrying. His track record when it comes to women's rights and other equality issues, it obviously it isn't great. It just feels like such a step backwards in the world. I personally don't believe that anyone should be allowed to run for president when they have convictions against them. Whether it's civil or criminal convictions, it's still convictions. It's just so wrong. But it does remind me why marches and movements like this are so important. We have to keep pushing for progress and standing up for what's right, no matter who is in power. It's so easy for people to think, well, these issues aren't happening here, you know, it's somewhere else. But it is here. Women in Kent face things like harassment, lack of opportunities, or just feeling unsafe at times. violence against women and girls is on the rise in Kent, and I was actually speaking to one of our police officers on the day about it. They've informed me of some of their steps that they're trying to take to help combat these issues that we have in Kent. I think marching about these issues here, we're making it clear that we won't ignore these problems and that we're building a community that supports change.
Kent Online reports.
Figures out today show a big drop in unemployment in Kent. Just over 40,700 people were claiming out-of-work benefits in the county in November. That's down by 870 compared to the previous month. The people behind luxury seafront flats in Folkestone insist sales are on track ahead of a big decision on the next phase of the project. Shoreline Crescent is part of a wider master plan for up to 1,000 homes in the area. Prices of apartments within the first building range from £395,000 to more than £2 million. Next today, and an electric vehicle owner says he's been treated unfairly by the local council after being fined for leaving his car at a charging point in Deal. Tony Nagel pulled up at the West Street car park only to find his phone had gone flat and he couldn't recharge his car without it. So he walked to his nearby home to charge his phone, then ended up with a £70 fine for leaving his car in the bay. Tony has been telling us exactly what happened.
One late morning, I parked in the car park that I always park in and have a residence permit for. It's called West Street Car Park here in Deal. I have a fully electric vehicle and have done since December of 2022. And there's a row of four charging points in West Street car park. I've consistently parked my car there and charged it for the 2 years. And then on the day concerned, which I think was the 21st, I was low on charge. I also have to stress, and something that we didn't fully touch on, Ellie, when we just spoke over the phone, is the I have no way of charging my car outside my home, because I live on Middle Street in Deal, and there's double yellow lines on both sides of the street. So the only possibility of charging my car is actually in a council-provided charging solution. And so that's what I did. On that late morning of the 21st, I parked my car at an electric vehicle charging point. And, you know, Murphy's Law, or whatever law you want to describe it as, struck, and my phone was completely dead. The only way of accessing the charging capabilities of the charging point is through an app called Connected Curb. Of course, I couldn't access the app because my phone was dead. So I connected my car up, and you are able through the app to initiate remote charging. I went back home, charged my phone, and then went onto my phone, initiated remote charging, and my car charged. Also on that day, and again, you know, it would be interesting to get Dover District Council's opinion on this, there were plenty of car parking spaces in the car park. So if I'd chosen, I could have easily chosen to park in one of those rather than specifically the electric vehicle spot. So when I parked there, it's all about, in my view, intent. My intent was absolutely to charge my car at a council-provided charging point. But I couldn't because my phone was dead and I couldn't access the app.
Now, an appeal was rejected by the council, who now say they're looking into it.
Kent Online News.
A car park in Deal could be used for housing as bosses push ahead with plans to build more affordable accommodation. Hundreds of families are said to be waiting for a property in the district. Albany Place car park is underused and the site has been added to the council's local plan as a potential development site. It's hoped plans to build 800 100 homes in part of Medway, meantime, could help relieve congestion at a busy roundabout. An application's been submitted for a development near Wainscott, which would include a new primary school and community centre. The people behind it say improving the Four Elms roundabout will be a key part of the proposal. Next today, we can hear from a Kent mum who's been telling us about how she fought to make her local football club more accessible for disabled people. It's after she struggled to find toilet facilities for her son, who's in a wheelchair. Penny Woods says she's often had to take 18-year-old Harry into the ladies' loos with her. Well, she spent nearly a year making changes at Sheppey United and has been chatting to reporter Jo Crosley.
I've been a supporter for many years, along with my son Harry, who is a wheelchair user. Early last year, February time, I was approached by the current chairman and safeguarding officer to get involved in bringing disability football into the club, and that then evolved into my role as disability and inclusion officer.
What has that role been like? What have you had to do over that time?
So part of that role has been setting up our PAN disability section, attending sort of FA meetings with our safeguarding and welfare officer. And also as part of that, I've brought in accessible options into the stadium. So our stadium is now 100% accessible with ramps, seating for wheelchairs and access to our bar up the top. And also bringing in the girls' youth section as well. That's been a big part of my new role.
And just tell me a little bit about your experience of sort of non-league football with Harry. You're telling me away games were particularly difficult for you.
Yeah, they can be. Not a lot of non-league clubs are accessible, even to go as far as not having sort of disabled toileting facilities. So it's hard work sometimes going to the away games. If Harry needs to go to the toilet, you know, he's a young lad now, he doesn't want mum taking him into the ladies' toilet. But unfortunately, sometimes we have to do that because it's just very rare that there is disabled facilities.
And what does it mean to have sort of a club like Sheppey sort of really supporting you and trying to make this place accessible for disabled people?
Sheppey is one of Harry's favourite places to be. So we spend a lot of time here. So them getting involved and helping just makes our time here even more enjoyable. Sheppey United are a real community club. They want to do a lot for the local community, and they're very much of the mind that football is for everyone and everyone should be able to enjoy it. And now our stadium allows not only our local community, whether it's disabled, elderly, but also our away supporters who may not travel to away games because they experience the same thing that we have. They can know that they can come to Sheppey and they're catered for and they can come along and enjoy the game as well.
And Penny's son, Harry Mosdell, has been telling us how he feels about the changes.
As a supporter and as my mum, so as my mum's side, I'm very proud. I'm very proud of her. And so I've helped her along the way. And then as a supporter, since the all disability and all of the matches and on the first team, the capacity has been right up, which is great to see. And like in the Derby days, there are so many people. Yeah, so I'm very, very proud of my mum. When we didn't have that, like I went to my mum, oh, can we go and see like the first team, and then. Like she always says no, but like since like all the ramps and all of the stair lift, it's been very easy.
Kent Online reports.
There are plans to restore a former pub in Folkestone with a new cafe and 12 apartments. The White Lion in Chariton dates back to the 1850s, but has been empty for nearly two decades. The site's fallen into disrepair and previous attempts to convert it have fallen through. £1 million could be spent on doing up a park in Tenterden. Plans being considered include a skate area, youth hub, tennis and netball courts. If you live nearby, you're being asked what you think before plans are submitted later this year. Now, a B&B in in Harrietsham that appeared on TV's Four in a Bed has revealed plans for expansion. Stable Oak Cottages has applied to convert a redundant barn into a tea room and cafe for its guests. 63-year-old Lorraine Wallace and her partner Mick Smith have owned the holiday lets since 2013. Well, Lorraine has been telling the podcast more about it.
We've put in the plans for the new tea room because we think it will enhance the stay of our guests. So they can order a breakfast in the morning or they can have an afternoon tea. We do homemade cakes. We've got a lot of artisan bakers and suppliers near us, so we feel that we should utilise them and use them as much as possible. And also, it will give us a little extra something for people that want to start. I think we need to always look at being slightly different from other holiday cottages. So for us, it's very important to try and keep ahead of the game, give people value for money, and give them a great experience, and we have a lot of returning guests, so we'd like to expand on that as well and have more people returning. It's easier for us when people know what they expect, and it's more like family coming to visit than people you don't know, if that makes sense. The plan going forward was, well, if it did very, very well, perhaps we could put in planning to maybe have like an external seating area for guests that want to come, hopefully open it up maybe to the local residents that are in Harrietsham. We don't have anything like this in this area. The co-op have coffee machine, which people can sit outside, which, you know, if you want to catch up with your friends and have some social time, you don't want to sit outside a co-op. You want to go somewhere, and I think this would offer that. With the wonderful views of the North Down, we've got the animals that people can sit and look at, and the fresh air.
Elsewhere, workers started on a state-of-the-art leisure complex in Herne Bay. The David Lloyd site will be the third of its kind in the county and is expected to open next winter. We're told it'll have a gym, indoor and outdoor pools, tennis and paddle courts. And finally, a top chef has described a Kent restaurant as the best in the world. Max Rocher, who runs Café Cecilia in East London, says the Sportsman in Sea Salter is every chef's favourite. The restaurant between Whitstable and Faversham also has a Michelin star.
Kent Online Sports.
Football, and Ashford United manager Danny Kedwell has left the club after 8 months in charge. The former Gillingham player goes after a run of three defeats and the side 10th in the Isthmian South East League. A statement says it was a mutual decision. The club's co-owner Lloyd Hume has taken over as manager until the end of the season and has appointed Darren Hare as his assistant. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Blue Sky. And you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, you just need to head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. Now, that gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories as well. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.